Welcome to the Football Coaches Podcast. Join my co-host and I as we explore topics important to football coaches.
Everything to inside zone, administration, player relationships, and resources for young coaches who's just like us.
I'm Coach Kaysen.
I'm Coach Stop.
Let's dive in. Welcome to the newest edition of the Football Coaches Podcast. I am Coach Kaysen, as you know. And on the other side, I got my boy, Coach Stockland, on there.
What's up, guys?
And today, we're going to try to push the envelope, as we seem to try to do, you know, every single time we record. We're probably going to do something a little different, and hopefully we're still friends at the end of it. So
Maybe not.
So today, we're going to take two different sides, kind of like your debate team did, you know, when they were in school or whatever. And we're going to debate two different run plays on which one's better. Now, you know, full disclaimer to start, obviously both of them are going to have a lot of merit. They've been around for a long time, okay? And just because it works, we're going to talk in a vacuum. We're going to talk, you know, generally, all right? If you got a kid that can't do X and you want to go out there and run X, well, then X ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? You got to have, you know, you got to understand what fits the cats, the kids that you're going to teach. Okay? So, with that said,
it's going to be fun.
With that said, Coach is going to tell us what we are debating today.
So, all right. So, like you said, we got two topics. And today, we're going to do one back power and inside zone. Well, I really thought
you're going to be like in the left corner, but keep going.
I mean, we can do that. but anyway, I forgot what I was saying. I have one back power.
Boom.
In left corner, he has inside zone, and we're going to figure out who can persuade you and can make our arguments seem the best, and to see, you know, see what we can. If we can meet in the middle, and if not,
nope.
Who's going to fight until the end and to the bloody death of each other?
All right, sounds awesome. Second disclaimer I want to throw out.
Boom.
All right, hopefully what this debate does for you as a listener is kind of gives you, you know, what side of the fence, not only what side of the fence you're on, think of if you could only run one. Your coach comes to you, you're the offensive coordinator or whatever, run game coordinator, and coach says, we can only run this with this. Coach, what do you decide on? Under, you know, kind of put where you think what would work where. Kind of help build that understanding of how they're different. I think that's really the main key here. And then the second key is for me to win.
we're gonna have some problems. I don't really like playing on losing. So, yeah, we may not be friends after this. So just
that's all right.
My last disclaimer.
You'll see me by the end of the week.
All right, here we go. Hey, man.
Nah, you're
you
open.
You start us off first.
All right, you got to.
I'm open.
Yep.
All right. So, I'm open.
Coach, what all is right, one back power, and why does it suck?
Why does it suck? Well, inside zone sucks because. All right, so, you know, my definition of one back power is, I hate to say it this way, but your normal power scheme where you have a puller for the front side.
Front side what, Coach? Kind of, doesn't sound like you know it very well, Coach.
All right. Front side linebacker, play side linebacker. And the way I do it a little differently based on the puller. Most people normally pull the guard no matter what. But me personally, you know, I'm not a big fan of pulling the guard. If there's a three technique backside, because I mean that center has to go, you know, all the way back. But that's not, you know, the basis of my argument. I'm going to explain to you one thing. One inside zone, I mean, sucks.
Wow! Wow! Right? Can you talk about your own? You didn't even tell me what back power is yet. I'm still waiting.
I'm getting there. But in my word, in one back power is my base. You know, my base play. This was my go-to. You can do that shotgun. You can do that a totally amount of different things, and yeah. It's great. It's awesome.
Good boy.
You know, I'm not going to get into I'm not gonna get into everything because you know my I don't have that many bullet points because I'm not gonna lie to you. The bullet points I got, I don't need that many. I don't need 15 arguments to prove that.
Okay.
This is the greatest.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I assume we were gonna go. Both of them, one back power out of the shotgun or inside zone out of the shotgun, type of thing. You know, so here's why I would prefer, in what world I'm preferring one back power. A, I'm going to walk out there on the first day, and I'm going to teach my guy how to do a bucket step to the right. I'm going to teach my guy how to do a bucket step to the left. And then after that, I'm going to teach him how to reteach him how to do a bucket step to the right. And then I'm going to teach him how to bucket step to the left again. I only got two steps. So now I can build a whole offense out of my offensive lineman getting fantastic at two steps, and all they have is that zone to the right. You know, I got my gap to the right off my right hip, or zone left. I have that gap to my left, okay? The other thing that I can do is I can build a complete offense off of it because I can change who I'm wanting to read as an offense. You know, most guys are going to run it. If we're going zone read left, we're going, inside zone read left. All my linemen are doing their left bucket steps up, finding their guy. If they have a guy in their left gap, they're going to take him. If they don't, they'll climb. Pretty standard stuff. Everybody goes to the left. And most guys are going to typically read the end, which is a great idea. So I read the end with my quarterback. And basically what my quarterback's doing is blocking the end. So now I've already won one matchup with our mind. So now I don't even have to win physical matchups. All right. That's one of the main things. If I wanted to, I could add a bubble out to the outside or any kind of movement, any kind of RPO. And then all I got to do is make one single little tag and I can now lock that DN with my guy and then count numbers on my RPO and my conflict defender. And if he comes screaming in there, we can dump it out real easy. The second biggest reason that I think inside zone's better than one back power is that it is predicated on horizontal displacement. Whereas one back power is predicated on a lot more vertical displacement and more movement skills by the puller and by the play side tackle coming up and trying to get to the will on the backside. So I don't know about you, but especially in our area, the defensive linemen are a lot better than the offensive linemen on a typical day-to-day basis. Okay, just athletically. I don't mean coached or mentally or anything. I mean just simply athletically. And it is really hard to move a guy that is bigger, stronger, and faster than you vertically to get to move him to back him down like you're Shaq posting up a guy. But what's great about the inside zone is that when guys come screaming up the field, I can create that horizontal displacement. And what I mean by horizontal displacement is taking the gaps that the defense has and stretching them, taking my guy and pushing him horizontally. Horizontally means laterally, which means sideways, okay? Pushing him that direction, creating a huge lane for my running back, to make his move, to be an athlete, to do things of that nature. Whereas on power, I've got to work together on a double. Typically, if we're going towards a three tech, I've got to win against that three tech, block it up, work together, hip to hip. Now I've got two guys that can mess up, and they've got to cause vertical movement. Because if my three tech gets any bit up the field and implodes that double team, he can pick the puller. And if he picks the puller, the puller can't get to my mic. Now the mic's going to scrape right over the top and make the tackle. What you got for that, Coach? Any rebuttals?
That sounds actually pretty okay. Not great, but, it's okay. Well, the first thing, I'm going to say to that is, you mentioned getting vertical. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't, like you say, a lot of times in this area, the D lineman is a little bit better than O lineman. I'm not expecting vertical movement all the time. If you give me, it may sound bad, but a good stalemate block, give me a block where he's not coming up the field on me. That is a win for me, And yes, I am asking for a double, you know, two guys working together, you know, on the front side. But I want to mention this. If you're running inside zone, Bubba, and you have a three technique or one technique who is mauling people, you know, you're asking for the same thing too. So now if you're running inside zone and you're still looking for that double, you know, now you're asking two guys to work together and then a guy to at least get to a landmark of his spot.
Yeah, but
if but that makes sense.
If he whoops our butt and we move him sideways, we can take him out of the play.
You can take him out of the play, absolutely. But you're still asking two guys to work together. So that means two guys working on one, and that means one guy is 9 times out of 10, most of the time, unblocked. So now, and I've had a situation where you have a heck of a deep tackle and also a heck of a linebacker that you have to get to. If not, he's going to make the play. So now you're asking these guys to block, first off, this down lineman, who is probably one of the best D linemen, and also a linebacker who they now have to try to chase and get to. I'm not saying I have the greatest lineman, but that's a lot to ask for.
Now,
you know,
that's where I would say, in a way, this is where a great running back, or a good running back, that you only teach one running track would be, you know, very, very key to this being successful. Because what's going to happen is he's going to aim for the center's butt cheek and or the guard's inside leg, right? Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. We're on the same page. He's coming uphill. The backer can't go over the top, because if he goes over the top, it's going to create a huge gap on the backside of whatever lineman is trying to block him, to give that vertical, now a vertical and horizontal seam for my back to cut off of. The back, we're actually, when I think of inside zone, we're actually forcing the backers to block destruct. And guess what they don't do every day? I tell you, as a defensive line coach, and as a defensive coach and a defensive-minded guy, those linebackers love doing drops. They love doing tackling. They love doing all this, but they hate block destructing. They love dropping back to coverage.
I am so glad you said that. Like, I don't know if we talked about this before, but you really just took me to my next point. Thank you. I appreciate you on that one. Okay? So, if those backers love to drop, and those backers love to, you know, do the thing they do every day in practice and dropping, but you're running power, and you're pulling that guy around, what did I just do in theory? I just took another gap, moved it, and created another gap. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now I'm taking that backer who loves to drop. He's dropping. I'm pulling the lineman, which is now creating another gap. Same thing you just said. I'm creating another gap. And now you're asking this backer who's already bailing to come down and at least try to get over top of a lineman. You know, because I teach inside shoulder.
But he's using speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's using speed. Whereas in the inside zone, he's got to use a block destruction technique because of how tight it's going to be, that he has to take on a lineman. He's not going to be able to scrape over the top of the double team like he would on power and run over the top of it, not evade the lineman coming near him, because he's going to have the right tackle. If we're running, you know, power right, he's going to have the right tackle coming down B gap to him, correct?
Yep.
And he's always got to do is evade him instead of actually take him on.
B gap to him. But even if you invade him and, you know, and the tackle, even got to get in his way. Just force him to get pushed into the wash, into everybody going down. Now I have another lineman. So I just blocked the guy with a wash, you know, so he's stuck in it. And the guy we're pulling for, he's literally stuck in a bind.
That takes you back to my point of, whereas in one back power, if my three tech, who's going to get, you know, he's going to get the right tackle come down on him for a moment and the right guard coming out to him, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If he gets any vertical push, neither the right tackle or the left guard can get to their backers, because basically what they're doing is crossing, right? So they're basically doing the same thing as any kind of other blocking scheme, but instead of everybody taking the guy in front of them, we're trying to bring a gap over and cross him. So now the right tackle's taking on the left backer and the left guard's taking on the right backer. That makes sense,
right? But now,
if he gets any vertical push and pushes that guard, you know, pushes that back plate up, gets them shoulders pressed back, the guards that's rapping for the mic is never going to get there, which means and it's going to keep the right tackle on that three tech because he's got to, because if not, he's letting his guard get his butt whooped, and that's going to keep my scraping backer, you know, free. And now I'm making a 2-on-1 vice tackle on your guard.
See, I'm not, and maybe because it's the way I teach you, but in that case, and this is a day one thing, it's not even in-game adjustment type situation. If we're getting a three technique, all right, and that front side tackle, as I will tell them, you know, come down a little bit, tighten your splits down, work the double. Well, if the three techniques get any kind of a little bit of push, or he maybe get a little something, then now the tackle rides him down, rides him into the wash, and now the guard is replacing. So I'm always going to have somebody coming off of the backside. I'm never stuck in a bind.
Which guard?
Of trying to worry about the front side guard.
The guard that's getting squeezed down by the three tech?
Yes. So even if he's getting squeezed down, the front side tackle, they work together. I'm teaching that tackle, you know, if we see on film that he's a, you know, a decent sized cat, you know, attack that hip. As guard has an eye placement on the backside backer, any kind of movement by that guy, he scrapes off and comes off that double. And only thing he has to do is just get in his way. I'm not asking him to be Batman or, you know, or make an impact for block. Just get in his way, cut his lane off. That's where, you know, angle teacher comes into play. But I'm not asking him to take a blindside movie all the way up to the other end zone. Or if I'm asking him to get in his way, get a chip off of him. So now that I've eliminated the backside linebacker, he's done. Now I've got a puller going for the front side shoulder. And just like RPOs, most of the time, he's always wrong. If he tries to come upfield, we work on his outside shoulder. The back cuts it off over there. Now, if the back cuts off of that, now he has the block by the backside. He has the backside linebacker sealed off. Now he got one on one with the safety. You know, I'm taking my back over to safety.
I'd say the same thing could happen with the inside zone. Here's why I say power is going to falter, though, is if you can push one back power horizontally, you're going to beat it. Whereas if you push inside zone horizontally, you can still squeak through a lane and get you a lot of yards and not get, you know, a zero. You can turn a 0 yard, you know, or tackle for loss into a 5 yard, 4 yard gain. Whereas I don't think you can do that with one back power.
And you're saying that because of just.
Because if I pull the guard and I do exactly what I say,
blue moon type.
You do exactly what you say. We cause a stalemate. My backer, my mic backer, gets into the inside shoulder, spills how he's probably going to spill for playing a one high or even a two high in most cases. He's going to spill it. The wheel's going to scrape over the top of him, over the top of that spill caused by the guard pull, the mic spilling underneath, and he's going to have to go horizontally to handle the running back. He's going to have to start moving horizontally, and I think the play's dead at that point because now the free can come over top of the cap. You'll have your overhang to the run side can come in there to help to the outside fit. What are you going to say, Coach?
It's kind of the same thing. You're talking about, you know, vertical push. Let's say you're running inside zone to a three technique and you have, you know, backside one. If that backside one gets any kind of upfield movement on that guard or that center, if you're working a double team, you know, now you're asking this back to A, try to, you know, bounce it all the way front side and or try to turn a little no-yard gain into possibly a one-yard gain.
All right, so the two things we're going to do there is my center takes his – angle bucket, we're going right. We're at the three tech. We got a 2 hour or one backside. We even say he's a one. He's got to bring up that offhand, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to double. He has to bring up that offhand to pop, which is going to be the hardest thing we're going to have to teach because, and you know this probably better than I do, this will be the hardest thing we're going to have to teach is a center using his offhand to go opposite of where his body's going and snapping at the same time, correct?
So
marginally
so
difficult.
You're asking your center.
Marginally difficult.
You're asking your
right?
center to take his opposite hand and go across his body?
Yeah, I'm taking his. So he's a right hand snapper and his left hand's popping as he's taking a right foot angle bucket step.
Okay.
Real capiche?
I thought you were saying something else.
Okay. Oh, no. We're not going to cross hands. We ain't like.
I was out. Oh, yeah.
Nah, you can't block with the same hand first. But that's what
I'm just trying to make sure we get on the same
page. We're on the same page. And that's what my center's gonna do day one. He's gonna teach how to do it from the right to the left to deal with the one. He's gonna pop the one on his near shoulder with his thumb up as he goes out, as he's working to get up to what's gonna be the mic back. The mic backer has to come to him because where's the run going right at? The inside guard's leg. So it's coming right at where the mic backer's at. All right. So he has to run to me. He's got to run to me. He can't run around me because this is, you know, this is physical coming downhill. And I'm getting enough of that nose tackle backside that I can scoop or wash down that nose that now the back leg of the guard was the aiming point by the back. As he sees that obviously get cut off by whoever's body, he cuts up right off the nose. And that will, I'm going to have a good angle on to get on top of and cut off of him wherever he goes. We go opposite. And now I have your free safety or your overhang who is coming in at a 90-degree angle, not a 45-degree angle for one high, but a 45-degree angle for two high. And now he's got to make a tough tackle on what arguably is going to be the best person we have on our team with a ball in his hand, arguably, correct? And now,
most likely, yes.
Yep, and he's one-on-one with a free safety. And if we don't want to deal with that, we'll run anything we want to run behind him. So we run a slant pattern behind him. He comes screaming down. You know the deal. RPO over top of him. Pop. You're going to do that about two times, and he's going to be looking over his coach like, Coach, you doing me wrong. It don't matter where I go. Whatever you tell me to come run down on the guard, he steps at me. You know, no pull, feel. That's typically a lot of guys. No pull, we feel the run. And they're throwing that thing on my head, Coach. Now we got a problem. Whereas in power, we wouldn't have to. We could do things to sit the will and run a game because if I get any vertical push from my three tech, like I'm coming back to again, and you're pulling over and you're displacing a gap, if I get any vertical push from my three tech, he can basically cancel a gap.
Now we can, and I'm kind of just like pigging back off what you're saying. You know, if you're so worried about, you know, trying, as we were talking about earlier, trying to get that backside will, and I kind of, you know, hate to piggyback off the point, but you can still do the same thing as you just said, you know, run RPOs off that guy, obviously, you know, like you can do almost anything else. So if in your case you're so worried about that backside will, then we don't even have to double to him. I can keep two guys. If you're so worried about that three technique, I can keep two guys on, you know, on that front side DN. I mean, I'm saying on the front side DN, front side three tech. No, so now I don't have to worry about any kind of.
Who's taking on the end?
Guaranteed. We'll get that in a minute.
I'll say, who's taking on the end? Do you have an imaginary tight end there? Are we 11 personnel?
Well, Tristan, hey, give me a second.
I just want to know, man, because the way you're talking, you got to, you know, somehow he's going to double the three, kick out the five, and then climb for the wheel.
No. Now, if that's the case, he needs to skip high school and go straight to NFL because they can't even do stuff like that.
I'm gonna call the Jaguars. We gonna need him.
but like I was saying, he can stay double on that backside wheel and I don't know that backside wheel, front side three technique, and I'm not worried about no vertical penetration or anything in that case. Now, to talk about your DN, I can do one or two things with him. I can bring in a tight end and go 11 personnel. All right, so what that's going to do is that's going to take that DN, and most likely put him where? Put him outside, on the outside shade.
Well, I mean, if you're going
on that tight end,
if we're going one high or two high, really, I would say a six tech or a six eye, which I call inside shade as a tight end.
And if that's the case, then even putting him inside, I love this part a lot. If he's head up or anything, I'm telling my guard. We're making a long call. Was telling that front side that my puller, hey, I got to go a gap over.
Which is even scarier. Which is even scarier.
It's not scarier. It's not scarier.
You got to have somebody to do it. I ain't even taught a pull step. How many steps have you taught? You've taught a down block. You've taught a retrace. You've taught a double team. You've taught a pull, a skip pull. You've now taught a over the line pull. You know how many steps I've taught? Bucket step right. Bucket step left.
I mean,
and if I need a puller,
we want to be effective, right?
What's that?
We want to be effective, right?
We could be effective, but now All I got to work on is bucket step right, bucket step left, pass protection.
What you got to work on? That is not as simple as it makes sound.
Yeah, it is.
Because if I want a puller,
all I got to do is make two different calls, right? I'll bring in a two man surface, anything like that in the backfield, 20 personnel, and we can use. Now I can teach that guy just how to do that, to be a sniffer.
So now you have to add a guy to create a surface. I mean, I have it.
What's that? Yeah, you created the 3-man surface post snap. Now I can create it either way though. You can't create a 3-man surface, you know, either way with it. You got to run it one way or the other. I can have to do a post snap,
but I didn't have to add nobody to do it. And then you know,
and you have and nobody. You have nobody accounted for the end in power, so you can't pull it if we were to run flat down the line in power and keep, use your quarterback.
We can go power read if I have to. That's the front side. You know,
but now you got to block the wheel because you can't run power read and RPO the wheel.
You can't.
But,
okay. I'd make
and now, wrong, but. And now your quarterback getting hit because he coming down the line, like he coming into the C-gap area. Whereas on inside zone, he's going into the alley where nobody's touching him. He always just does get 6 yards and slide. And now the defense end's getting, you know, B-I-T-C-H that because he came inside because he lost his responsibility. And now he ain't going to do it again. So now we've made him, you know, hesitant, and it's helping us block. And now the will may not trust him as more. Because he come flying down, so the wheel may wait for a split second, and now it makes it even easier for my big lineman to lock onto that wheel backside and get the true cutback. Because we both know, inside zone you can run it 20 times, and 18 of them might go for 60 yards, and then 19 and 20 might go for 60 yards each, because of how it works. Just takes one little slip up. Whereas in power,
and that's what you're banking on. You're banking on one slip up.
I'm putting all the onus on me to call the plays to make sure we get in the right spot, and I'm teaching it well. Whereas in power, I'm having guys do 6 different things, and all of them have to work well for me to get yardage. Whereas if one guy screws up on inside zone, wherever he's at, vertical, we can use that horizontal movement to get yards. And not have TFLs and set us behind.
So now you're saying that you're only teaching linemen one step. So how are you going to account for that vertical movement that you're probably going to get? Are you just telling your linemen just to bucket step and, you know,
bucket step for another day? Bucket step, own your angle. If he works out outside, you're going to keep your head placement on that inside shoulder. You're going to keep your arms in the right place. You're going to bring him in tight. And you're going to push him wide, where he wash his ass out, where he wants to go. He wants to go up the field. We're going to push him up and out. It's just like a box out in basketball is what I'm
saying. So now you are banking on getting vertical movement.
No, I mean, doesn't matter, horizontal or back. I'm looking on getting, as long as I get horizontal movement, we're fine. As long as I don't want my guy to have to board drill him. Whereas in power, at some point, you're going to have to win a board drill. It's a 2-on-1 pod every single time.
If I'm
going against Jedevon Clowney at 3-tech or whoever at 3-tech, the cat that plays Clemson as a freshman now, who whooped our butt, if he's the guy, we're just going to read him. We're going to make a call and read him. Can't do that with power. So now we're just going to read off him. If he comes flying up the field, we're going to keep it. And we got everything locked up on the other side with my quarterback.
So now you're kind of being hell. So now you're asking, you know, a quarterback who may not be a runner. So now you're basing something off of your quarterback, pretty much.
Same thing you was doing with Power Reed.
Yeah, but that's a minor adjustment because if I don't have it, I'm not doing it.
The minor adjustments were the same thing. We run inside zone left, but instead of reading the end, now we read the tackle. So now my right tackle treats it just like Lott. So now I haven't even – all he has to hear is we're going to make a call for it. Say it's mid. Say the call is mid. Zone left mid. Mid and Lott mean the same thing for him. They mean block me in. My guard's going to go straight up to the backer, and we're going to go off the tackle. If he does he come screaming for the back, we're going to pull it. Does he come up the field for the quarterback, we're going to hand it. Make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, but now you're – So,
round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, me?
I don't know.
A lot of dead air there, Coach.
I know. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
All right, let me hear it.
No. No. I mean, what? Hear what? What am I?
Let me hear the rebuttal.
I pretty much gave it to you, but I'm still believing that now you're counting for an O lineman now to get vertical movement, as you said I am.
No,
too.
I'm not. I'm trying to get horizontal. Where am I trying to get vertical movement?
I mean, what if you don't get horizontal movement?
It's a lot easier.
I'm okay with the stalemate.
The original argument.
Are you okay?
The original argument for inside zone is that I don't need to win as in a vertical displacement type of manner, which is tough. It is hard to board drill a guy unless you are significantly better. If a guy is even with you, horizontal placement, moving his hips left and right, is far easier. Yay or nay? Disagree or agree?
I disagree. I think it's
– You think it's easier to board drill a guy?
I'm not and maybe I'm saying I'm not asking for a board drill.
But if he stalemates, it's not gonna. I mean, a stalemate's not gonna do you any good. Because if it's one back power and that right tackle has to take on the end and he stalemates, you're gonna have nowhere to go. There's gonna be no seam.
If he stalemates that guy, he was outside of him. I am fine. He is out the play. I am not.
No,
worried
it's not because if he takes
he is,
one,
he's
step,
out the play.
If he takes one step inside, he can close off the B gap. With the offensive lineman, and then still have the C gap, and now your guard is wrapping around three people, and my Mike backer is closer to where the ball is going to go, and he's going to get there before your guard's going to get there.
If the guy is outside, and I'm going to take the same step you just said. All right, I'm going to tell him, hey, take the inside shoulder of him. All right, you don't have to down block him. You don't have to take him 5 yards off the ball. All right, if you step inside and protect the inside, I mean, put your butt to the hole, he can't go around you.
So now he's had to learn a new step. What's he running now? He's running bucket.
He's now learned bucket step right.
He's learned down block
it's
left.
It's not a new step. It is a down block step, but get your butt inside. It's the same steps.
But now you got to teach both on top of your double teams, on top of your pulls, because while you're teaching this guy how to out block, how to down block, I got to go over to both my guards, and they got to learn how to pull. And while he's doing that, the center's got to learn how to block back. And while he's doing that, the backside tackle's got to learn how to hinge step and then drop to protect the backside.
No,
that's four techniques.
I'm taking this. I am taking the same step as a down block step. I'm doing the same exact step. Nothing. I haven't added a step.
It is a step.
He's taking the same step. It's not. How is it? How?
Please. You want to house a step? Go do a right handed layup. Go do a right handed layup. And then grab that same ball and go down the field and do a left-handed layup. It's different. It's different. It's not the same. Get in the left-handed stance. No. Get in the right-handed stance. It's different.
No, it's not.
It's different.
Literally, so if
you're playing on both sides of the line, I know you know it's different.
If the guy's outside,
it's strange. You have to practice both of them. If you don't practice both of them, the one that you don't do is going to be strange. And when it's strange, you're not going to be confident. When you're not confident, you're going to be slow. When you're going to be slow, you're going to get your butt kicked. When you get your butt kicked, you're going to get yelled at by the coach. When you get yelled at by the coach, then you start running inside zone.
No, 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 not at all. Not at all. Because, and I'm not going to use this statement. Well, I mean, use it, but I'm, you know, a coach told me, you know, inside zone is really for the non-coaching people. It's just an easy cop-out.
How's it a cop-out? Because
we're not going to get it. Not get into that, you know, but anyway,
you brought it up.
Anyway, I am not teaching a new step. I am teaching three steps. And you're right. I am teaching three steps. You're right. A down block, a wrap, skip pull, mm-hmm. and maybe, just maybe, depending on the guy, I may use AM over the line pull, but I'm not banking on having to.
Well, I just told you why you'd have to earlier. But even if you didn't, you still got to cheats down block left, down block right, skip pull left. Am I wrong?
You're telling me with
all I'm working on is bucket step right on my angle, bucket step left on my angle.
It's the same thing. I'm doing it the same way you're doing it.
No, you're not. I said two things. You said six. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get so much better at two. And then whatever inside zone doesn't give me, because you're absolutely right, it doesn't give me the overload, correct? That's the overload, right? The guard pull gives you,
right?
Takes the gap from over here and takes and puts it over there. But I can do that by bringing in anybody, and now they can do it. And now I don't have to teach my O-line, which is the most important part of your offense at high school level. I think we can agree on that one.
Yeah, that's one thing we can.
Yeah, we can agree on that one. And they're only got to do what they're awesome at. They're going to get so tired, they're going to be so good at it. Their coach is going to be like, coach going to walk out there third week of training camp and be like, coach, you got anything else? No. Why would you run anything else? How many yards did we run for last week, coach? About 2,000. You know, how many did we run for? It's the Gus Malzahn. So his assistant coach came up to him, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the copy and stuff. His coach come up to him and sees outside zone. He's like, oh, man, wide zone looks great. So he goes up to Malzahn. He's an assistant, and he's like, hey, I think we should run wide zone. And Malzahn goes, well, how many yards did we run inside zone for last year? 2,600, coach.
Yeah.
Well, why do we need anything else then? Because they're going to get great at doing it, because they're going to have infinite amount of reps. Because when they're running special teams over there, because big boys don't get to do no special teams, they're going to be going bucket step right, bucket step left.
And while y'all are doing that, we're still doing the same as that thing.
Yeah, but it's four different guys, and now you have to look at six people. You know who messed up in inside zone. It don't take but half a split second. You know. It takes a whole lot of work.
My same argument is it's the same thing with power. I know you know who.
Yeah, but it's five guys working together. Five guys have to work together. All right, I'll throw in another thing. How are you going to block up? Walk me through how you're going to block up an odd front. So I got a zero, a four on the other side, 220 stack backers, and two overhangs that are apex. You're in doubles.
If I'm in doubles, I'm going to still take that same guard and still pull. The center's going to base block. Now the tackle, he's not having to worry about any kind of back trying to get to the backside. Now you're going to take the guard. You're going to work the guard to the backer. Did you have a backer step in the middle? You said
no, 220 backers. So they're head up on the guards.
Cool.
I didn't know if our terminology was different. That's why I said I'd add.
I'm going to take the front side guard, and he's going to go back. He's going to go backside, and now the puller's going to get front side guard. Now I've just created that same alley that you may say you have an inside zone.
Okay, so you have a four, right? Your four can go either way, so it's going to slow you up a little bit, correct? A little correct, bit. That's little why bit. Teams run odd front. That's what makes the odd front so interesting, so nice to have at this level, is that it's going to slow your kid down just a little bit, just a smidgen. And he's going to get beat across the face if I go four-eye, if I go inside, because I know where I'm going. So if I'm a four that goes inside gap to make a three, he turns into a three post-snap and say my nose goes back to a one, or he does what we call a jet technique where he tries to board drill the center, right? And now my four on the backside comes out to a five, and I send the 90 off the edge. So now I've created what, an overfront? But now I've created a post snap.
Pretty much, you're sending four guys. Yeah.
Now you can't even give me the double. The double you lived off of on the pull that you needed to win. You have to win against that three tech that was in the even front. Now you're giving your guy less of a second to even get there, and you can't double.
All that movement stuff, even trying to as you would say, making a four down front post snap. It doesn't matter because if the front side, what would we say? It was a four tech. If he goes head inside, up four, yep. Then head up four. All right, then he takes him down. the backside guard, the back, the front side guard is going down. Now I'm forcing your guy you're bringing off the edge to make a decision, because now if I'm running some kind of read or anything, God, I'm forcing him to have to.
No, you're running at the read. You're running at the read, so you're getting the 0-4, the 0, and they're all slanting weak, and they're bringing a guy off the edge to create an overfront post snap.
He's coming off the edge, play side or backside?
Play side. They're bringing him off the edge. They're bringing him off the edge to create the overfront. So I got basically a 9, a 3. All this post snap, they're going to start head up. Remember, I said I had an apex backer out there. He's coming screaming off the edge into the C gap. So you got to block him. If not, he's going to murder your running back. You know, if they're any bit even, because I got a run and start with nobody touching me. Then I've got that head up go into the 3, and he's going to have a jump on your guy who has to either block down or block out, regardless of which one. If your guard blocks out, then that's fine, and you're all blocked up. Everything's good, but it's going to be a second slow because he doesn't know where that guy's going. Is he going out or is he going inside? Same thing with the nose. You have to I'm forcing your guard to pull now. Like before you said, and it's a great idea, you know, if you're running power at the nose, you want to wrap the center a lot of times. A lot of people are, and I love that. And I love that a lot, because if you're any good at it, you can really get a good down block. Absolutely correct. But now you can't. You have to pull the guard because my nose is a zero tech nose, and he could go either way. So and if you don't take him on head up with your center, he's going to blow the play up, obviously, right?
Right.
And he's got to snap the ball, now, so add pressure to him.
Now, this is just an adjustment, and I know you're going to say, well, you don't have to make an adjustment, whatever, inside, but whatever. If there's two four eyes, then
– No, just two fours. Two fours.
I'm going, and just – and I think you're talking about that's head up on the tackle, correct?
Yes. They're both slanting away from the direction you're running. So you're getting an overfront post snap.
Cool. So in that case, if that's something that we're seeing, I'm going to take my backside guard. And now instead of him pulling, and I know this is may sound kind of like, well, it's going to take forever. I know what's taking, because I've heard from you a lot. I'm going to take my backside guard, and he's going to go back on that four eye. And now my tackle is now going to be the puller.
All right, now, great.
That is a long pull. You're absolutely right.
No, it is a long pull. I wouldn't even go there. If I'm coming off and getting any contact with my four, my head up four that's on the tackle, it's going to be really hard for him to get out there and get the guard on him without any issues. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if he gets hands on that tackle, not even the sense of how long it is, and it is a long pull. Don't get me wrong. The Mike back are going to have a serious advantage in this one. Not only that, if you strike him, if he gets any bit as he's going to scrape outside to a 5-tech, which we said he was, any bit of him, gets a piece of him, goes to do his 5-tech and strikes his hands on him, slows him down just a little bit, and the guard blocks back, right? Everything, we're still on everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a hard time, A, getting to the wheel backer because you have nobody for him. You supposedly have the guard coming backside who is going to be a second late. And the tackle is going to get pushed off his route just by a second. It's going to make getting to that Mike backer, the guy you're pulling for, incredibly difficult.
But I just said it's one of those that's, I mean, it's hard as shit. I ain't going to lie to you.
Now,
but
I get to talk. Guess what we're going to do?
Let me guess. Okay.
All right.
Can I guess?
You guess. You talk for me.
Everybody block right?
Yeah. No, you didn't say it right. Bucket step right. Oh, my angle. Whoever comes, we're going to take them. We ain't got to think because we know exactly what's going to see. If I take a step towards him, toward his right, is that right outside, you know, outside foot, because he's head up on me, because I'm a tackle or whatever right here, and he goes flying inside, who's got him?
In theory, the guard.
And guess what's going to happen? He's going to get upfield on him because he knows where he's going and the guard doesn't. Correct? Looks like I said on for years. But now we're going back to horizontal placement. All I got to do is push his hips wide. The wider his hips go, now that gap's huge and a lot of space. A lot of space for us to get 5-6 yards every time.
Man. Block right, block left. Simple. It is very simple. So, yeah, I rest my case.
All right, so it's going to be for you guys to decide. All right, I'm going to send a poll up. You only get one single scheme. You either get one back power. We're not talking two back power. One back power, or you get inside zone. You choose. I'll put a poll up. All right? I do still love you, Coach.
That'd be interesting. Oh, no. Oh, no. I love you every day of my life.
That's what I like to hear.
Because I'm going to take what you said, some of the stuff you said, and we'll figure out, make sure I got all my shit, you know, in order. So,
can you stop cussing on the podcast?
If I ever have to play you, I got everything in order.
We'll see. All right, guys. Get us out of here, Coach. Outro us.
All right, guys. Well, it was fun. It was interesting. Something different. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Coach W Stock on
Twitter. Follow me because I'm the winner.
Follow Coach Casey at First Gen Coach. That's the number one gen coach. And also follow our YouTube channel, Both Sides of the Ball.
Yep. We just dropped a new series on Both Sides of the Ball called Coverage 201, where on this YouTube series, I'll be leading it, and we redefine how coverages are taught. Because it looks like, if you look at guys, you know, if you ask a random fan, and I think this series can be for anybody, a fan, a coach, an analyst, that's what it's intended for, is to get a better feel for coverage. They're typically going to tell you cover one, cover two, or cover three, or quarters. But as both of us know, on both sides of this podcast, it's not nearly that simple. And it'll never be that simple as, you know, quarters, cover one. I don't think that gives a good enough description. So we're going to go in and out, how to run every single coverage, what type of coverage philosophies there are, what families every coverage belongs to, how to beat them, how you line up, how to tell what they look like, and how to disguise it in every single piece of it. But I'm going to do it in a very methodical pace so that we're understanding exactly where everybody goes at, because there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstandings when it comes to coverages. So keep going, Coach.
And I will say this. I have sat and listened to all of it. I promise you, it is worth it. It is very
absolutely. Absolutely. And I have a lot of people that can vouch for it. I'm so happy. I'm proud that Coach can vouch for the work. It's information that took me years to learn and I had to pay for. And I'm giving it to you for free.
For free.
For the frisky. All right, Coach, get us out of here. Sign us out.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you guys listening. Like we always say, we're here to help you. You definitely, definitely, definitely can help us by first off making sure that we all know that I am the winner. And we can all help each other just become great football coaches. All right, guys, we appreciate you listening. Peace.